To all that be in at Allen County Christian Fellowship, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. What a challenge. God's blessings to each one of you this morning. It's a joy to be here. It's been a blessing last evening and this morning again as well to be gathered here. And a lot of memories go through my mind. And for some of you, I know you don't have some of those memories. You're newer here. But some of the memories that are going through my mind were the good times that we had, Mark and I coming here and sitting amongst you in your brother's meetings and sharing together, and some of the painful things that we went through together, and some of the blessed things we went through together. And I just want to bless you as a congregation this morning. I just rejoiced sitting there and realizing that God is doing good things amongst you. And your faithfulness to God, your commitment to the Lord is paying off. Some of you stuck it out. And I just want to bless you for that. I know that it wasn't all easy. And we all go through trials. We all go through struggles. One of the things that I was thinking about as well, and just want to express to you all as a congregation a thanks, a big thanks for all the gifts and blessings that you shared with us as a family during those roughly 2 years that we were coming and sharing with you all here. I remember the one day we were quite surprised when there was a couple packages came to bless my wife. Thank you for all that. I don't think you'll know what that all meant to us, but I want to bless you for your heart of giving and thanks and all of that. We appreciated it very much. I was pondering what I should share this morning, and I had a different topic that came earlier, but as I pondered it, I just felt like there was something else God wanted me to share on here this morning, and so by His grace, I'll endeavor to do that. The title this morning is The Attitude of Gratitude. And I'd just like to highlight some of those things this morning for us. If you turn in with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, we want to read that account there in Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11. We're, I think, all familiar with this account. Jesus here came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And that was the thing that a leper needed to do to get a clearing that he was no longer a leper. He needed to go see the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I thought about gratefulness, and I thought about this leper who returned to give thanks to God for what he had done. What about the other 9? Were they not grateful? Were they not thankful? Why didn't they return? I think those are probably some unanswered questions that we all have and may always have. But this one returned. Why did he return? When he saw what had happened, I don't know, was it visible? What was going on? But he realized he was cleansed. And there was something that welled up in his heart. And it was gratefulness. It was gratitude. And I thought about that. And we're not going to just focus on that here this morning, but this attitude of our heart is so important, this attitude of gratitude in our hearts. Gratitude is what always spoils life when it is left out. A thankful spirit enables one to praise God even when circumstances are difficult. A thankful spirit. There was a Scottish preacher who always began his prayers with an expression of gratitude. He was noted by his congregation to be a man full of gratitude. He just had this attitude of gratitude. And he was, seemed like every Sunday he just had something positive. It was just a spirit of gratitude. And one Sunday, it's kind of ironic that it is a little bit this way outside right now, but the congregation gathered together and it was a dreary day. It was drippy. It was cold. It was just a miserable day. And the congregation wondered, today, they wondered what the pastor is going to pray today, being it's so dreary and rainy. And he prayed, We thank thee, O Lord, that it's not always like this. See that attitude of gratitude that just overflowed in his life. What a blessing. Leviticus 22, you know that book that we sometimes struggle maybe to get through. Leviticus 22, verse 29 says this, And when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. That's pretty interesting words. This attitude of gratitude is more than... It is more than just saying words. It's something of an expression that's coming from deep down within us, out of our own heart, our own will. And this was actually the Lord telling Moses, this is what I want from you as a people of God. He said, this is what I want for you. When ye offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. Out of the abundance that's boiling inside of us, the attitude of gratitude. And what happens when this, what would happen if this gratitude is missing? I started reading this morning in Romans chapter 1 to you all. If you'd want to turn there, you can turn there to Romans chapter 1. I want to pick up another verse or two here as we think about, and this is just more of an introduction here, but what happens when this gratitude isn't present? In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And we could go on down through there, but we notice something here in verse 21. It says, this is the beginning of this journey of darkness and unimaginable, even vain imaginations, things that if you read on down through, and we could read the last portion here in verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. How did these people get to this kind of place? Was Paul writing to just the general society, you know, the world about us? Was that who he was writing to? No. He was writing to Christians. I read it to you at the beginning of the chapter. I used your name as a congregation, but he says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, there was this one ingredient that seemed to be amiss. Verse 21, neither were thankful. This attitude of gratitude becomes extremely important in our Christian life if we want to walk faithfully with God and faithfully with each other as well. I think I'll leave that as an introduction to what I want to say this morning, but there's three areas I want to look at this morning. The first one is obviously we should have this attitude of gratitude towards God. You know, what thanks does our God deserve? And we could think about that for a while, and there'd be a whole message we could preach about that. What thanks does our God deserve? Does he deserve an attitude of gratefulness from us? Psalm 50, verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. You see, there's an obligation that the people of God have towards God. And that is this attitude of gratitude, giving thanks to God. Psalm 95, verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Coming before his presence with thanksgiving. And it's this attitude of gratitude that God is looking for from us. A free will thing that we give to him because of the overflow of our heart. When we come to him in prayer, we come before his presence with this gratitude towards him. Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to a few generations. No, to all generations. What a blessing. Here's another verse in Psalm 116, verse 17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Is thanksgiving sometimes a sacrifice? It is sometimes. We go through difficult times. Sometimes it's difficult to thank God for the hardships, for the hard things that we're going through. Sometimes it is very difficult to thank God in the midst of all of that. And yet, can we do it as a sacrifice? A sacrifice that's coming from our heart, knowing that God is good and his mercy is everlasting. In the New Testament, Paul was writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 9. Verse 10 to 15, he says this. He says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower. Who would that be? He that ministereth seed to the sower. Who is that? Any thoughts? Who that might be? It's God. That's what I understand. He that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministereth bread for your food. There's something we can be grateful for. You know, God even just says, when you want to eat, we should pray. We should thank God for the bread that we have to eat. And multiply your seed sowing. We're at the time of the season. I mean, every farmer would know that if there's no rain and there's no sunshine, there's no crops. So God is the one that multiplies the seed that is sown and the increase and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, and this is in regards to the Corinthians. I think Paul was writing this maybe from Macedonia. I'm not quite sure where he was at exactly, but he was writing to the Corinthians, and they were, he was actually boasting of them to others in Macedonia and said, the Corinthians, they've got this money supply that God has blessed them with, and they have it collected together, and they're going to send it to Jerusalem, because there was a famine in Jerusalem at the time, and so they heard about it, and they got this money together to bless those in Jerusalem. And Paul was boasting of them and blessing them. But Paul's writing here, and he says that this abundance also was a thanksgiving, a bountifulness, which caused through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorified God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God to you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And I think about that, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Paul had the attitude of gratitude, and he realized God set forth the most beautiful example of giving. And that was when he gave his only son to be the redemption for mankind. I think that was the unspeakable gift. And Paul recognized how God gave. The Corinthian church expressed their gratitude by generous giving. And when we have that attitude of gratitude, it affects our giving too. Whether it's monetary or whether it's our service or whether it's our love for the brothers, all of those things blend together. I wonder how things would have turned out for the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. We know that story well. They came out of Egypt. They went through the Red Sea. They didn't take any ship. They didn't have any airplanes to get them across. They were kind of caught because there was this delta that they were standing on. They had come through this valley, mountains all about them, and the Egyptians were right behind them. Had it not been that God put his cloud between the Egyptians and the children of Israel, they would have probably all perished right there. But then God opened that path through the Red Sea. And what came out of it on the other side? The children of Israel went through. The Egyptians were destroyed. And the next day, what was it? It was a song of gladness, a song of rejoicing. And what would have happened if the children of Israel would have kept singing that song of deliverance as they journeyed on in the next 3 days without water? What would have happened? I think things would have probably been a bit different. They wouldn't have been doing this murmuring and complaining that we read about 3 days later. How is it for us? Do we give thanks unto God? You know, every one of us has a lot to thank God for. If you're not sure where to start thanking God, take your Bible and open it to Psalms 103. And start praying verse by verse that heart of gratefulness that David had. Start praying that. He loads us with benefits. God loads us with benefits. That's what we have in Psalm 103. And just start praying through that. Lauryn Hill once said, "Everything we do should be a result of our gratitude for what God has done for us." Everything that we do should be a result. We have the ability to sing of our gratitude. We have that ability. We have the ability, and these are just avenues we can show that gratitude to God. Prayer. Prayer is an avenue. Entering into His gates with thanksgiving. Here's another one that we should, and in the New Testament, it clarifies that this is a part of the Christian life. If we keep His commandments, if you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said. And I think it's that attitude of gratitude. It's not a law. It's not a have to. We want to. We want to do God's will. The attitude of gratitude towards God. Secondly, the attitude of gratitude needs to be expressed in our families. And I was thinking about that. I think some of these things, sometimes when we share, as we study and we prepare, we see the great needs in our own lives. And I would say some of these things are pretty pertinent for me as I think about expressing gratefulness to my family. It seems our families are sometimes the ones who don't express enough gratitude for our family. Somehow we take them for granted. We heard last night about staying in love. And I think as a husband, do I express enough gratitude on a regular basis for my wife? And I know we can all probably improve in some of those areas. But is there an attitude of gratitude? for our spouse. You wives, for your husbands, how often do you express to them what a blessing they are in your life? Gratefulness is also an action word. It's not just words, but it's actions. Gratefulness is. How about fixing him his favorite dish? Wives, you can show your gratefulness to your husband. Now, if you do that every single day, it won't be very special to him anymore, right? Might be. I think he's going to gain a lot of weight, so be careful. But your favorite dish, you know? So action that we can do. Tell him how grateful you are to be married to such a good provider. When was the last time you told your husband that? Gratefulness. A heart of gratefulness. Husbands, how would you feel if your wife would suddenly pass away? Some of you have experienced those kind of things. And God bless you for that, your faithfulness. I know it's difficult. I know those things are hard. How would you feel? We can hardly fathom that. We can only imagine, really, what it would be like without your wife. Why do we take her presence so for granted? Let's show gratitude. And every wife is different. Some like flowers. Some like to go on a walk. Just with you as a husband. Quality time. Giving her maybe a part of the day off from caring for the family. Staying at home and letting her have a little break. Maybe she needs to go do a little shopping or something. What a blessing that can be. Are we showing those things? I was reading here about a truck driver. And he was married for a good long while. It seemed like he had older children anyway. In the story, it doesn't say specifically, but he loved his wife and his children. But he also very much was attached to his truck. And sometimes his wife would make comments about that he seemed to maybe love his truck, or he spent more time with his truck than he did with her. And obviously it was his income and so forth. And so she was gracious about all of that. But they had a seemingly a good relationship. But one day, it was a December day, and I don't know where this location was, but he lost control of his truck on slippery roads and went careening down over a ravine and crashed. He was pinned in the truck and hurt very badly. And but he was able to reach for something to write on, and he had a pen, and he wrote a note, knowing that he probably wasn't going to make it out of here, and knowing he probably wouldn't come back, because he was plunged down in the cliff over that cliff so far. But he wrote a note to his wife. He expressed to her how he regretted not showing her more how much he appreciated her and all the sacrifices that she made for him. He closed the letter with these words: "Take care of yourself and always remember that I loved you more than anything else in life. I just forgot to tell you." And he was found dead in his truck 2 days after the accident. How is it for us, husbands? Do we just forget to tell our spouse, our family, how much we appreciate them and the gratefulness that's going on in our hearts? Children, how many of you are grateful for the family that God has placed you in? And how many times are you expressing to your parents the joy and the gratefulness for their teaching, for their instruction in your life? and the blessing that your parents are to you in guiding you and helping you and protecting you and feeding you and giving you a bed to sleep in and clothes to wear. And there's just multitudes of things. Do we have that attitude of gratitude towards our families? William Ward said this, "Feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it." May the Lord help us. The third point I'd like to talk about is the attitude of gratitude to everyone. Everyone else. We talked about God. We talked about our families. I'd like to talk also about showing that gratitude. And this field is broad as we talk about everybody else. I think we all enjoy being around people who have this attitude of gratitude. And the question is, will you and I be one of those? Will you and I be one of those? I know my tendencies to slip in those areas. Not that I maybe don't always have that gratitude, but I don't always express it. I wrap up the package and I never give it. Lord, help us. What will the story of my life be when I lay in the box? I think we think about those things, but how much does it grip our heart? What would the story of our life be when we lay in the box? Will people recognize, oh yeah, he was such a blessing. He always was so grateful. You know, when we have this attitude of gratitude, you realize that when you go about your day, your everyday life, whether you're at work, whether you go shopping, wherever you are, if you have this attitude of gratitude and it's bubbling on, going on in your life, did you know that that in itself is a bright and shining testimony of God's goodness to others? Without even saying a word, just the smile on your face, the restfulness in your eyes, people look at that and they say, "What is that?" And they desire it. How can you and I brighten the corner where we are? By showing gratitude. Just like the leper who returned to give thanks. I knew a sister. This was a part of her life, this attitude of gratitude. She was older, much older than I am. But when you came into her presence, she made you feel very special. Didn't matter who you were. I was just a schoolboy when I first got to know her. She just lived across the schoolyard, neighbors to the school, and every once in a while she would be out there and she liked to talk to the children, and I was one of those. She always made you feel very special. And there was something bubbly in her life and in her heart. She loved the Lord, and there was no question, you didn't brush shoulders long with her until you knew she loved the Lord. But she just had this attitude of gratitude. And it was such a refreshment to everybody she met. And it was no flattery with it. Just genuine appreciation. She's gone on to be with the Lord now. But I think all that knew her were blessed because of how she appreciated others and was grateful even when she herself went through some very, very deep valleys. Some of her children to this day are not walking with the Lord. And it was a great burden on her heart. And she carried that to the Lord. But she remained having this gratitude in her heart. Here's some things that we could talk about as we think about sharing that gratitude with others. I don't know how many employers there are in this room. There's, I think, a number of employers. Do your employees know how grateful you are for the work that they do for you? Just a question. How much you appreciate them? I think probably there's quite a few that are employees in this room. Have you expressed to your boss the blessing it is to be able to work there? The good paycheck that you get. Are you looking for those opportunities to bless your boss? You know, I wonder what for difference it is would make in our workplaces if we carried this attitude of gratitude, whether you're an employer or an employee. It would make a difference. So many times you hear the grumbling, right? The employees grumbling about the boss, making me do this, I have to work late. And, you know, those are all good things we can talk about. But what about that attitude? Here's another one. What about your neighbors? Do your neighbors feel like you love them like yourself? Do your neighbors feel that way? Do you have great neighbors? We live in a driveway where there's two neighbors on past us. And so we share this driveway together. And so we get to see our neighbors probably more frequently, going driving past our house and so forth. But I can't count on my hands, and this is not to beep our own horns, but we can't count on our hands the times that our neighbors have just blessed us and expressed how much they enjoy us as a neighbor, and we likewise to them. And it's such a refreshment when we have this attitude of gratitude. In fact, one of our neighbors, when we did a little addition, he came over, he said, I want to do your trim work. And he did it for free. He just wanted to come and bless us that way. And he's not like us, you know. He professes Christianity, but he was just that way. He was just, that expression of gratitude was coming from his life. And we fall short sometimes in really getting together with our neighbors like we should. But little things go a long way with neighbors. Little things. Doing little things for them. Blessing them in little ways. You know, I feel ashamed sometimes when I hear of our people who can't get along with their neighbors. They're fighting over property lines, disrespecting each other's property. And I know some of these things can be challenges, but how do we love our neighbor as ourselves? The second commandment. Only if our neighbors are nice to us. Is that how it works? Or was Jesus teaching us that we should love our neighbor as ourselves, even if they're ugly to us, even if they're nasty, hard to get along with? This attitude of gratitude. There was a family looking to relocate in another community, and you've probably heard this story, but they found a house they liked, and they began to ask around the neighborhood how things were in that neighborhood. One old man they asked how it was where one old man that they asked about how the neighborhood was here, he asked them, how was it where you lived? And they answered, oh, it was bad. No one got along with each other and things were not well. And that's why we're needing to move. Well, said the old man, that's how you'll find it here too. You see, we bring ourselves along in some of these things, don't we? In order to have good neighbors, we need to Be one. Be one. Starts with gratitude. How about the household of faith? How about the household of faith? Do my brothers and sisters know that I appreciate them? Do we feel it but not express it? Some of us have been taught not to show appreciation. Here's why. Well, that person might become proud. There is that possibility. But I really think deep down, there is a longing in each one of our hearts for that gratitude to be shown and for us to show that to others. Will we be one of those? I wonder how our church experiences would be if we all began to have this attitude of gratitude toward each other. How would brothers' meetings go if we sat there with this attitude of gratitude towards our brothers? How would church life be? How about this, church? Do your leaders feel your support? Are you blessed by their sermons? Have you told them so? How about after a difficult brothers meeting, when you knew it was hard for the one moderating, have you called him up the next day and just said, God bless you, brother. I know that was difficult, but just God bless you. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for standing up for truth and walking in it, even though it was difficult. You see what I'm saying? That attitude of gratitude. What kind of commitment are we going to make in this area of gratitude? Are you on that journey? Are you on that journey of gratitude? It all starts deep in our hearts. First, our love relationship with God, then our families, and then it flows out to others. May the Lord bless us as we consider those thoughts this morning. I'm challenged. I desire to have that a greater part of my life. Lord bless you all. Thank you for your encouragements to us as a family. We are very blessed. Thank you for your prayers. Come visit us at Faith. We would welcome that. Be a blessing. You all would come. Lord bless you all.